In 1 John chapter 5, verse 11, well, in verse 10, the one who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. The one who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the witness that God has borne concerning his Son. And the witness is this, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, in order that you may know that you have eternal life. Beautiful, beautiful words. And the hymns that we have selected tonight have been hymns that have centered on the Son of God. And I think one of the most beautiful verses of any of these is that one in Ferris, Lord Jesus, that says, beautiful Savior. The first time I heard that verse, I was in an assembly of 2,000 people, and the man who was directing it was blind. He had his doctorate in music, but he stood to the right of the lectern, and he read the Braille as he led it. And I was impressed with that and a little bit overwhelmed with just him. Because he was such a wonderful person and was delivering that in such a wonderful way. And then when he led that beautiful, beautiful verse, and he had written some similar to that, it was just a marvelous thing. And I was thinking as we sang tonight, there are people in this world who have died for just saying the words that we've just sung. And what a great privilege is ours, that we can come in this assembly tonight and we can name the name of Christ and we can sing our faith in Christ without that fear. As we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I want to talk for a moment about faith, and we're going to be doing hymn study on that here in just a moment. But in this passage, the writer is thinking again about heaven. He was ready to go. He talked to us in Philippians about it. And he began to tell us and to explain about having the earthly tent we're in now. But when we're with God in heaven, we're going to have a heavenly dwelling that he's prepared for us. And he said, while we're in this tent, verse 4, we groan being burdened because we don't want to be unclothed, but to be clothed in order that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. And then in verse 5 he says, now he who prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave to us the Spirit as a pledge. Therefore, being always of good courage, and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. And then two verses down, because of all of this, he said, we have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to him. We're going to look at a hymn tonight, My Faith Looks Up to Thee. And this particular hymn is one of the hymns that was written in America. It is... And let me see here. Let me give you the verse if you want to look at it. 586 in our hymnal. It will be on the screen here in a few moments. But one of the great hymns that was written in America by a young man, 22 years old, who was the son of a judge. He worked as a clerk in a store for a while. He went to high school in New York. He went to Yale. He became a teacher and taught both in New York and also in New Haven, Connecticut. And he was writing this hymn, as I said, when he was 22 years old. And it was by happenstance that we even have it in our books. The words of the hymn, he said, are words that were from the depths of his very own heart. He was reading in his room, and he read a two-verse poem that was written in German. And the German poem that he was writing gave a picture much like the one that's on the screen of a penitent person kneeling before the cross. And after all, that's where it starts, isn't it? At the cross. And he was so touched by that that he sat down and wrote four verses. And the four verses that he wrote are the ones that we have in the hymn. My faith looks up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine. Now hear me while I pray. Take all my guilt away. Oh, let me from this day be wholly thine. May thy rich grace impart strength to my fainting heart. My zeal inspire as thou hast died for me. Oh, may my love to thee pure, warm, and changeless be, a living fire. While life's dark maze I tread and griefs around me spread, be thou my guide. Bid darkness turn to day, wipe sorrow's tears away, nor let me ever stray from thee aside. When ends life's transient dream, when death's cold, sullen stream shall o'er me roll, blessed Savior, then in love, fear and distrust remove. Oh, bear me safe above, a ransomed soul. And he said, and we have his quotation, when he got to that last line, a ransomed soul, that it just hit him so hard, and he thought, the whole work of redemption and salvation is tied up in this phrase, a ransomed soul, particularly based on everything that we've heard in this hymn up to this moment. And the emotion of that moment for him was so great, he just broke down in tears and cried. He wrote the song down. He wrote it in a little book that he carried in his pocket. And he was walking along the street one day, and he was in Boston, and he ran into Lowell Mason, a name that we all know, a famous songwriter of the day. He composed himself over 700 hymns. He was involved in the publishing of 80 or more hymnals. In addition to his work in faith, he introduced the teaching of music in the Boston public schools, and he operated and started a training institute for teachers of music, and had quite a reputation for the training of public school teachers. But he met him on the street, happenstance that they were there, and he walks up to the author of this hymn, and he says, I need a hymn to go in a songbook I'm writing that's going to be entitled Spiritual Songs for Social Worship. And this kind of an encounter shouldn't be too surprising. We've talked about many of these as we've looked at these hymn studies, at how an incidental meeting ended up in some of the greatest hymns that we sing in the church today, at which point our author pulled his little pad out, and he gave him the words to the song, and Lowell Mason took it back, and he began to work on it. And a few days later, they meet again on the street. And I want to read you this quote here, because Mr. Mason addressed him, and he said, you may live many years and do many good things, but I think you will be best known to prosperity as the author of My Faith Looks Up to Thee. And one of the professors at the university said, one of those fleeting conjunctions of circumstances and men, they had a way of expressing themselves back then. I never thought of a meeting as a conjunction. But one of those fleeting conjunctions of circumstances and men, the doctor of music and the future doctor of theology are thrown together in the roaring thoroughfare of commerce for a brief interview, scarcely more than enough for a morning salutation. And the sequence is the publication of a Christian lyric which is to be sung around the world. Mason, in looking at it and looking at the setting of this song in Christ, wrote a tune which he named Olivet. And we know that tune today. There are other hymns that use the tune Olivet. It was introduced 10 years after this in Great Britain, and it was after it was introduced in Great Britain that it just became very famous overall. But it talks about faith. And in this song, faith is personal. My faith looks up to thee. And as we sing it, it's personal for us. The verse that we just read from 2 Corinthians, we walk by faith and not by sight. And so if I were to ask the question, what is faith? What are some one-word answers we would put to that? Evan, y'all are going to make me lip read. You can speak at this point. What are some one-word answers you can give to faith? Promise? Trust? Hope? Belief? Promise? Faith means a lot of things to us. You know, sometimes faith is that crutch we lean on in those darkest hours of our life. Faith is that light that we see when our hope is shining. And we think about faith in many different ways. The Bible defines it in Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and what? The evidence of things not seen. But what does that mean? The things not seen, those invisible spiritual things that we don't see. There are words that are used to define faith: confidence, belief, trust. And if we look at the study of those words, Vine in his New Testament word studies say it's a firm persuasion. It's a conviction we have based on hearing. Romans 10:17, we know that's true. Faith comes by hearing. This permission or persuasion is that God will fulfill all that He's promised, even though we haven't seen it yet. Our passage, however, indicates that it's a walk. And that word walk includes and incorporates in the original language the whole of our life activities. So if we walk by faith, and we think about that a little bit, it involves our work. It involves our interpersonal relationships with the people around us. It involves the decisions we make. It involves our daily living. Our faith is something that is a part of us that permeates everything we do and everything we are. And so when we think about it in that way, we see that faith is, it's a way of life. Faith is a walk. Faith is an action. And I like what W.E. Vine has said in those definitions. He said that there are three elements that define our faith. And I think they're good ones. The first one is, it's a firm conviction producing a full acknowledgement of God's revelation of truth. And I saw someone yesterday hold this up. God's revelation of truth. We either believe it or we don't believe it. We take it all or we don't take it at all. That we believe the full revelation of truth, everything He's told us here about Himself and about His Son. The second one is, it's a personal surrender to Him. One person said faith is saying amen to God. And I like that. When God says it, I accept it. Amen to God. And I've always, the deaf, if you watched our deaf at the end of the prayers. They don't do this. Their amen is this. If they believe it and they accept that prayer and it's going to be their prayer, you'll see them do this. They're putting their stamp of approval on what was offered to God. Personal surrender to Him. And then his third one is a conduct that's inspired by such surrender. And our life should reflect that we have surrendered ourselves to Christ. You see, we might believe, and we must believe, but it's a little bit more than that, isn't it? The devils believe, and they tremble. But they don't have the kind of faith Paul's talking about here in this passage, or that our hymn is talking about. And it's kind of an interesting thing with the deaf, too. If they believe something, they take the information and they put it down and they have it here. They have the belief. But if they trust it, if it's trust, it's this. And it's in an upward motion, taking hold of the rope, the lifesaver, trusting that the person above that's holding that rope is going to pull us to safety or bring us to safety, and that person in this direction is God. I'm holding to it. So when the hard times come in our lives, in whatever those hard times are, then we're holding on to it because of our faith and because of the trust that we have. And if it's an assured trust, we not only hold it, but we plant it. And so that's what he's talking about here. But William Ward has said of faith, and I really like two of the things he said, and that's all I'm going to share tonight. Faith is continuing to run the race, assured you'll get your second wind. And you know, sometimes our faith is there, but we're grasping for it when calamities come in our lives. But we hang on to that faith because we know we're going to get that second wind. The Lord's going to provide that. And I like this one. Faith is focusing on God's promises and cropping out the world's discouragement. And boy, don't we have to do that every day to hold on to the promises of God in our faith and discard the discouragements that the world would throw to us. You know, you go to Hebrews chapter 11 and you say, Abel, what is faith? Abel's going to say it's offering an acceptable sacrifice to God. You go to Enoch and you say, Enoch, what is faith? And Enoch's going to say, living a life that is pleasing to Him and acceptable to Him. You go to Noah and you say, Noah, what is faith? And he would say, heeding the warnings of God and completing the work as He asked it to be done. You go to Abraham. Abraham, what is faith? Abraham's launching out on the Word of God, moving into the unknown, yet knowing that God is there and He's going to provide what He says. And Moses, what is faith? Moses is going to say it's going to give up the pleasures, the power, and the riches of Egypt to follow a God all the way to Palestine. Faith is a walk. Faith is a walk. It's a personal relationship with God, a personal relationship with Jesus, filled with trust and anticipation of the future with our God and with our Savior. Knowing that this earth is not our home, but we do have a home, but He's going to walk with us through this life, and He's going to walk with us through the shadow of death, and He's going to take us home to glory. Faith moves us through all of these things. Someone that I was reading said, how do I know I have faith? That's a good question. We all have to answer that for ourselves. But he said, how you know you have faith is reflected in your capacity to see the path leading to eternal glory. The path that helps us to walk therein is faith. The path is from one home to another, from the home on the footstool here on earth to the home by the throne of Christ. And thus our faith carries us through this life into the life to come. You know, one of the most touching things that happened in conjunction with this particular hymn, we'll share that in closing this history, is something that happened during the Civil War. And with all of our hymns that have been such great hymns, there have been stories after story after story of ways they have been of comfort to those. But this incident to me is just so touching because there were 8 young Christian soldiers in that Union Army, and they were getting ready to face one of the worst battles of that war. And they were trying to decide what statement they could use to write for their families to show how they faced death and that would be of some comfort to the relatives should they not make it through that battle. And they decided that they would copy this hymn. And they copied this hymn down, and then all of these young men signed this as a document. And the following day with that battle, only one of them survived. But they had the document that went to their families. And I thought about that as I was just thinking about this hymn. Could I sign that document tonight? Could we sign it? Could that be our document, our parting thoughts to our families? If we were separated from them and we knew we might not make it back to send it to them, wouldn't it be of comfort to our families to know that we had incorporated fully into our lives the faith that we have in Christ Jesus? And that's what these young men did. The scripture that we read earlier said that if we don't have the Christ, we don't have the Father. If there's someone here tonight who is outside of Christ, who wants to make that confession and be baptized into Christ, we want you to come. If you need to come home to Him, we invite you to come too as we stand and sing this hymn.